Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To the Common Sense Retirement Planning Baseline we go. Texter writes, Tara, regarding Bernie Sanders' payroll issue, if he was truly dedicated to the $15 wage, wouldn't it be logical that he would sell off one of his three dachas to cover his loyal employees' earnings? So says Al from Simpsonville. You would think he would do that, Lee.
Yes, you would.
You know what's hilarious? I don't know, driving down Woodruff Road, if you noticed the Chick-fil-A.
I got to congratulate the texter on the Dacha's phrase.
Yeah, that was great.
That's a Russian summer house.
It's a little Russian lingo.
Yeah. Very good, by the way.
So you would think he would sell one, right?
Of course. Or two. Or, you know, maybe all three.
He'd take yours if you had them.
Yes.
You know, in the great Soviet tradition. So this is a guy who praised breadlines, you know what I mean? But he's just not walking the walk. Well, what's interesting was, okay, so here's what's going on. I mean, literally, it's been a little over a week since the CBO reported that if the Democrats' $15 minimum wage passes, it will cost between 1.5 and 3.7 million American jobs. All of them working class jobs that people obviously really need, right? And they will have to be cut. And so what will happen is more people will be asked to be more productive who are paid $15. So they'll have to work harder for their $15, and then all these millions of people lose their jobs. But nobody cares. It's about how the people who passed it feel, not what actually happens to their victims out in the real world. Well, it's so ironically, literally just a little over a week before, you know, since that report came out, that private employers, in order to accommodate the $15 minimum wage, would have to fire people and cut hours.
Yeah.
Bernie's staff goes into full revolt. Bernie Sanders, right?
Yeah.
So he has to give them $15 minimum wage, which, by the way, they were not getting, ironically, as they helped, you know, orchestrate his campaign $15 minimum wage.
Right.
And they saw the hypocrisy of that, too. And they said, pay up. Right.
Yeah.
Well, he did not sell any of the Dachas, surprisingly. He said, OK, well, he's going to do it. He's going to pay him the $15 an hour, but he's going to have to cut their hours and fire some of them. Just like in the report.
And just like what happens in the real world when you impose artificial wage prices onto employers.
Mm-hmm. But somehow the employers in the real world are not supposed to do that.
No.
But Bernie can.
Yeah,
because
those guys are being greedy.
Greedy, yes. Greedy, that's the
greedy
word. Yes. What? Texter writes, commie Bernie won't pay? Who could see this coming? Everyone on the right and no one on the left, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, but see, these are people who they have not studied history and they don't understand how socialism and communism work. The only people who have wealth in those systems are high-ranking members of the party.
Right.
So, I mean, Bernie is not technically being a hypocrite in how he's rolling this out because this is always how it works.
And in socialism and communism, you don't want to be tardy to the party.
No. You know, Ayn Rand lived through the Russian Revolution in Russia. And if you read the book We the Living, which is it's just a description by her of what that time was like in Russia, it was shocking. Literally, one week, the middle class still, you know, her father owned a pharmacy. The middle class still had their cars and in their businesses and stuff like that. The next week, they had broomed out, after they won the revolution, the communists came to power. They had broomed out all the business owners, and the communists were driving around town in their limos. So they just went and took their businesses, just took them. They took her father's pharmacy. They took their vacation home, and they moved high-ranking party members in. The distribute part never happened. And so the only people in town, like there would be, you know, restaurants where they used to eat that were like high, you know, high end. You know, you go once a year to a nice steak joint, right? We all do that. The only people who could go to those were party members. And so because they were the only ones who had, number one, the kind of rationing card to even get into one of those places. But two, they were all just turned over and parceled out to the party members. And it, she said, you know, it, 1 year that they didn't have, the government didn't have enough money for coats. Can you imagine spending a Russian winter with no coat?
No, no.
And so she said, like, so people were literally freezing. And, you know, the women, they only had six different styles of dress, like dresses. So all the women were wearing one of six styles. The way you could tell the party members from everyone else, they had coats, they had cars, and they were wearing foreign garb that was not one of the six styles. So you could totally pick a party member out. By that. See, so that's what, immediately following the Russian Revolution.
The rules apply to thee and not to me.
Right. So when they promised everybody that was going to be equal, they meant like everybody was going to be equally miserable except them.
Right.
So Bernie is actually faithfully replicating this.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to have the multiple vacation homes, and the people working for him don't have to, you know, he doesn't have
They don't have to make $15 an hour like everybody else he's trying to impose that upon.
Texter writes, hey, Tara, I don't understand why Bernie can't pay $15 an hour. Aren't all these shysters raking in millions in campaign donations? I thought so.
Mm-hmm. Bernie, you got a cash flow problem?
Yeah, I could think, again, he should sell one of the Dodges.
Yes.
It's the right thing to do, right? Yeah. He's got a couple more.
Yeah, put some skin in the game there, Bernie.
Yeah. Well, the burn apparently was for everyone else, not him.
Yeah.
Bob in Simpsonville has a
I just wanted to go at this at another angle for the low-information voters who only care about themselves. You know, if all these employers could afford, let's say, to pay them $15 an hour, the government, the Democrats just want to do this so they can raise taxes to pay for all the giveaway, the government giveaways, and the people that are going to be making $15 an hour, they're not going to gain a thing. It's all going to be paid in additional taxes. And that's my point.
Well, let's see. Maybe. Because Bernie is actually, to his credit, been honest that everybody's taxes will go up. So maybe. But right now, those folks don't pay taxes. So I don't know. They'd have to raise taxes on their own voters. And I mean, dual justice. I don't know if I see that happening.
But if they're making $15 an hour, they're going to be paying taxes.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. They're going to tax. It's just like now they say, oh, only everybody's paying taxes and the rich are getting all the tax benefits and tax cuts. No, that's not true either.
Oh, so, okay. Well,
I see. You're making $15 an hour. You're going to pay taxes and you're going to pay more taxes under the Democrat rule. But they think that it's just the corporations that are going to be losing money. It's going to be everybody that's losing.
Right. Because if you're making $15 an hour, you are the rich.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Remember when it kept going, the number kept getting lower and lower.
Right.
The amount of money that people made. Oh, well, the $250,000, that's rich. You know, when originally, oh, it's people are making over $1 million. That's rich. Well, it ended up being people were making over $250,000 a year, or maybe lower. So everyone's going to lose under this. You know, even the guy making $15 an hour is going to lose, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the point. We all lose together, Bob. And as losers, we're all equal.
Welcome to the collective.
Hence the equality, duh. Oh, my gosh. All right. Texter writes, the reason Bernie is getting reported is because the rest of the Democrats are aiming at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, yeah. Otherwise,
he's an old white guy.
Yeah, and see, that's a problem.
Because they're going to take out the two old white guys. They're going to take out Joe, and they're going to take out Bernie.
Because if you can have communism without the old white guy, then he'll have to go.
Yes, because if you can have a young minority woman, boy, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, by the way, okay, can I do a pop quiz on you?
Sure.
Because I know you are such an expert on modern technology, right? I'm always like, you know that plane, you know the one? And you're like, yeah, the F-360 2000. Yeah, that one. Okay. What, Lee, and if you don't get this, I didn't know this till I read it. I was just so impressed. Okay. So what new fighter stands to completely change all negotiations and relations with Iran right now? And I'm going to give you a hint. Israel has it.
Well, it'll be the F-35.
Yes! I knew you wouldn't let me down. I am so impressed. I'd never heard of this thing, but this is so funny, okay? You probably know about it. The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter.
Right.
You're thinking, why do I care about that?
Yeah.
Well, it was built by Lockheed Martin.
Right.
Well, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just got one of these. And you know what he did? He published a picture of him in front of it, grinning. And then he says, Israel can now reach Iran, but Iran cannot reach Israel. And what he didn't add, according to this article, this is CNBC, is the terms undetected by radar.
Yeah, it is a stealth, was considered a stealth fighter. It has stealth technology, both in the design of the shape of the fuselage, the wings and everything else, and plus the coating on the outside of the aircraft, plus the electronic countermeasures. And it is currently the most technologically advanced fighter that is out there. And only our best allies get those. And
in fact, Hillary's
Trump,
not president, right?
Really?
Iran would have one.
In fact, Trump just recently turned down the Turks, who are members of NATO, for getting the F-35. Yeah. And the Turks are not happy about that. But at any rate, but yes, the F-35, it's a single engine joint strike fighter. There's several versions of it, one of which can take off and land vertically. And just,
what?
Yes.
Are you vertically?
Yes, vertically.
Is there a video of this? I got to see
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
I can't even picture
that. This thing is 10, 15 years old, Tara. We got to get you up to speed here.
I guess so.
Yeah, you've been paying billions in tax dollars for each one of them, too.
Well, I'm glad I bought something worth a darn with my tax money. Well, so anyway, apparently it can do this. It can fly from Israel to Iran and back.
Yeah.
Also without any fuel change.
Without refueling, yes.
And no radar detection.
Yeah. Because that's the thing about Iran. It's not that far from Israel. That's why they're worried.
Okay, remember when Lindsey Graham said, listen, we don't have to take out Iran's facilities.
Yep.
If they get you know, nukes, or they enrich to that capability, right, or whatever, yeah, or he said Israel will do
yeah
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This must be what he meant.
Yep.
I just love Netanyahu standing in front of it, grinning and letting Iran know that they can reach Iran, but Iran cannot reach them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to put that thing in the air any day now, I mean, we could start a GoFundMe account. I've had about enough of Iran. That's just me.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big news just up the road, and nationally, too. A woman from Charlotte, North Carolina, and her Australian boyfriend travel over the border to a remote part of Canada. Their van apparently breaks down. The last witness to see them alive actually saw them trying to fix the van and offered, you know, help or ride or whatever. They said, no, we got this. It was the last time anybody saw them alive. Apparently, they were murdered sometime after that. It's ignited an international murder mystery in that remote part of Canada, including media theories about a highway serial killer. Apparently, somebody else was found dead next to a burn car not too far from there, although right now the Canadian Mounted Police are saying they don't think the two are related. So, who knows? Myers Park High School graduate China Noelle Deese, boyfriend Lucas Robertson Fowler of Australia, found dead early Monday morning along the highway. Their trip had just begun. They were, again, in the roommate area, hiking. A couple had been together since 2017, just days into an extended road trip through Canada when they were shot for unknown reasons. Police have not released a specific cause of death, only that they were shot and that they would require a closed casket funeral. Sounds like a mess. You know, I see stuff like this and I think, I don't know, I have much to add to this. But the last story that I did as a reporter was about murder, one of my favorite topics. I find that part of the human condition fascinating. And I wanted to find out, in the last decade in Charlotte, how many people had gotten away with murder. Well, what were the odds? If you kill somebody, you get away with it. And our bet going into it was that, you know, maybe 20% of the time, 15%, something like that. So we pulled every single murder case, went back a decade, and took a look at, you know, what are your odds? And we were absolutely, my editor, and it was a team of us working on it, but we're absolutely floored by what we found. It was right at 50%. 50% of the murders had no resolution. Golly, 50%, it's nuts. And in the 50% that nobody had, you know, was being tried, no one had been in charge, it was a combination of, well, we think we know who did it, but we can't prove it, so we're going to leave the case open, you know, in hopes that new stronger evidence will come along allowing us to charge it, or they didn't know who did it, or there were multiple suspects and they couldn't figure out who did it. They had some idea, but they weren't sure. It was stuff like that. So when you think about that as you're walking around, because for me, that has just so changed the way that I look at life. And you think about this. If that's standard nationwide, I don't know if it is. It was the case for Charlotte. Half the murders, people essentially get away with. Now, they may end up in prison for other things. Someone probably do. But you got a 50-50 rate of getting away with it? That means they're walking around. They're walking around. And Charlotte averaged about 90 murders a year. Somebody think about that. 10 years, that's 900 people. Killed. Some of them were multiple homicides, but not many. I mean, so think about that. Like, what do we talk about? Like 450 people walking around Charlotte? I mean, I don't know, give or take. What, maybe they've left Charlotte? Who knows? They're just walking around. They got away with it. What do? I mean, that's just one city. It's just one city. And, you know, I was, one of the things that amazed me was how often people got away with really heinous crimes, bad crimes. It might have been an attempted murder, things like that. You know, lack of evidence. You would not believe what's walking. This is my point. You know, would not believe what's walking around out there with you. You wouldn't believe it. And I'm sure it's the same in Canada. Our justice system, our science still has limits. It's getting better all the time, but it still has limits. So just, you know, just as you're walking, and you know, it's amazing how people will let their guard down because they're in a good area. You know, what do you think? This is not a bad neighborhood. This is the woods. It's cool, man. You think your neighborhood is nice? You think the area you live in is nice? There's no walls between you and them. I guarantee you have stood in line at a grocery store or a gas station or pulled up next to somebody in traffic or filled up your gas next to somebody who killed somebody and got away with it. Guarantee it. The numbers are just too high. You had none to say. You were none the better off for it. Oh, you should see the rape numbers, by the way. Those are crazy. They get away with it about 80% of the time. That's one of the hardest crimes to get people for. The DNA part's easy. The consent part, not so much. Most rapes, about 80% of them result in no conviction. Those people walking around too. So just a reminder yourself, I know I don't want to scare you, but I do want you to live in reality. And, you know, my years as a crime reporter forced me to look at reality in a totally different way. It is amazing that our society does not devolve into anarchy and chaos. It truly is. I've always thought there were more serial killers than people realized, too. You look at a city like Charlotte. I was always so interested in the fact that every year in Charlotte, it's between 2,000 and 3,000 missing persons reports filed. But the problem is when people file a missing person report, almost nobody goes back and said, oh, yeah, she came home 3 weeks later. So you have no idea in those reports who's really missing and who just, you know, wandered off. And in that, you could hide a lot of bodies. You know, I even said to them, you think, you know, what percentage of these people you think were killed, dumped in the woods somewhere? Oh, probably not a lot, the police said. I said, well, how do you know that? Well, they just assume it. There's no way to know. I mean, that's just a city like Charlotte, 3,000 missing persons reports. I mean, you know, so it's like, folks, what is out there? A lot of really, really bad people. Most of the bad people, about half of them in terms of murder, are not in prison. They're walking around. They go all over the place. They go to Canada and they maybe like to go hiking too. Just watch your back out there. You always, always, always have to keep your wits about you. For good reason.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Reading the reactions on the text line about this, the brutal murders of the Charlotte, North Carolina woman and her boyfriend in Canada.
Yes.
And I was just talking about one of the last big research articles that I did. We wanted to find out, we wanted to do a piece on, you know, getting away with murder and like how many people actually do. And so we pulled all the murders in Charlotte for 10 years. It's about 900 people killed, and found out the get away with it rate is about 50%, which means about there's about 450 people just out of the city of Charlotte in a decade who got away with murder. And, you know, I said, well, of course, you know, they could be in prison for something else or whatever, but they got away with it. Half the cases, they either didn't have a suspect, they had a suspect, but they didn't have enough to indict. They were waiting for more. Or hoping, you know, just leaving it open, hoping one day that they would get more information. But that, I mean, a 50% crime rate, so that means those, get away with it rate, those people are out there. They're walking around. It's yep. 450 just in Charlotte, and there's no walls around Charlotte, so they'll wander. But I'm sure it's the same here. There are just, you know, limits to what we can do science-wise, you know, investigation-wise. And so, I mean, these people, they're out there. They're walking around. I guarantee you, you've stood in line at the grocery store, the gas station, or wherever. You've probably pulled up next to one of them at night.
You hear the old line that says it's better for, 10 guilty men to go free than for one innocent man to go to jail.
Sure. No, I'm not. And I'm not taking, I mean, I was familiar with a lot of these cases. They just couldn't indict, or they, you know, I mean, definitely. I get it, but it's not that. So, I mean, you have to understand, these people are out there, you know, and people get a false sense of security, I think, watching a lot of those, like, Forensic Files, true crime, like, where they always get the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it creates the impression, well, if you murder somebody, you know, they're going to figure out you burned the car.
Yeah.
Not always.
The CSI effect.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people feel very safe, and they really shouldn't. I mean, it's changed the entire way that I operate, knowing what's out there and how terrifying it is, how many murderers we walk around with every day.
Well, and you know what? I'm really looking at things internationally. It is different in this country than it is in most of the rest of the world. I realize that some of the Western European nations have a similarly well-developed legal, judicial, and investigative team, and there is some expectation of safety. But the things that we can get away with and not have to worry about in this country are things that other folks have to worry about on a daily basis. Many of us who have the CWPs and also have firearms at our home who understand that, you know, when seconds count, law enforcement's only minutes away, and that, you know, no matter where you live, whether it's in the city or in the county or in the rural areas, you know, you need to be taking some actions to protect yourself and to keep yourself safe and be aware of your surroundings and what's going on around you. But quite honestly, the level of protection that we have in this country is unbelievable. For the most part.
Well, the problem there is, I mean, like, okay, Mexico, right, to our south, they only have one gun store the whole country, and it's almost impossible to buy a gun from the gun store. I mean, they basically have no gun rights there. The laws are so strict, no one can buy one. They've got a homicide rate triple ours. So, I mean, and our borders are wide open. So, I mean, you know, you got to count, okay, who got away with it here? Well, who got away with down there? Well, where they don't have anywhere near the resources we do. And most of the law enforcement is corrupt or just afraid because, you know, if you don't go along with what the cartels want, they'll either kill you, the mayor, or the judge, or all three of you. So, I mean, and that's what's down there. I mean, there's no reason it's not up here. They just walk up here if they want. By the way, you mentioned the gun thing. Did you see this? Let me ask you a question. And just given the media coverage, would you say that the number of firearm homicides, like, say, per capita, right, mm-hmm. the rate of firearm homicides,
yeah.
in our country because our population has changed. Would you say the rate of firearm homicides over the last 25 years has A, stayed the same, B, decreased, or C, increased, if you had to guess?
I would say decreased.
See, I would think that too because there's more gun ownership. Well, you're right. Admit who? The Washington Post. Wait, what? New Washington Post analysis shows Democrats, followed closely by independents, are more apt to believe firearm murders have increased. Thus, we have a greater need to take action against gun ownership. And this feeds, you know, the Democrat psyche, which is already more prone to support an expansion of gun control laws, right? Reality is that the high watermark for firearm murders was 1994, while 2017, the most recent year with complete data on incidents, shows a sharp drop. There were 16,136 firearm murders in 1994, but only 10,982 in 2017. So it's not even per capita.
Yeah, exactly.
It's raw numbers.
Yeah, just raw data. And when you consider the increased population.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking citizens or citizens and residents or just counting everybody as residents, you know, that means that the per capita rate's going down.
Yeah, I mean, a quarter of El Salvador lives here now. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Even under Common Core math, that would
yes,
be true.
Yes, that's true. So, I mean, 16,000 firearm murders in 1994, but only 10,982 in 2017.
Just don't tell me to, don't make me ask and have to answer how I got the answer. That's the only thing. So
No, I won't. Okay. If you look at it, and if looked at it in terms of the murder rate, instead of simply raw murder numbers, the drop in firearm homicides is even more evident. The FBI calculated 6.2 firearm murders per 100,000 people in 1994. In 2017, it was 3.38. And again, 2017 is the most recent year available. So, I mean, that's almost cutting, even in Common Core math, that's like cutting in half the firearm murders per 100,000 people.
Just think if you could take Chicago off the list.
I know.
That would help our numbers immensely.
If we could just like trade Mexico, Chicago, and yeah, move
on. Come on, Mayor Rahm. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
This is from Breitbart. An interesting correlation with the drop in firearm murders is the incredible expansion of private firearm ownership, which, look, study after study after study after study has shown as firearm ownership, legal firearm ownership increases, crime goes down.
Right.
It just does. People are like, oh, heck with this. It's not worth it. I'm not stealing that. I'm not breaking in there. Mm-hmm. They might be armed.
Yeah.
Especially here, you know?
Exactly.
You just don't know who's packing, but it seems to me like, I don't know, every fifth car has an NRA sticker on it,
just
I swear.
Saying, come down to the compound, you'll find out how heavily armed we are.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. So, good news that you won't hear anywhere. And by the way, I quoted the Washington Post. That was just the study that shows Democrats believe they've gone up, not down. It wasn't the admission.
Yeah.
So, but those are remarkable numbers. I mean, if anything, we should be like Russia. I'm going to get in trouble. We should be like Russia.
Encouraging private citizens to own weapons, yes.
Because they had a homicide rate more than double ours when guns were illegal there. And so the government legalized them. And they've not only is the government sponsoring campaign to encourage private ownership, they're offering firearms training classes.
Gee, go figure.
And when do the left wants Putin gone, right? This is scary stuff. So I guess that's good news, right?
I would assume so, but, you know.
Yeah.
Depends on your political viewpoint, I guess.
Yeah. Meanwhile, records broken down at the border. Do you see this? 1,100 African migrants were apprehended in one border sector in the last 6 weeks. That's the highest number ever.
Wait a minute. Africans?
Yes.
At the southern border.
At the southern border.
Between Mexico and the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Now, so if you've studied your map at all, you know that there's water.
Yeah, there's
so you can't walk.
It's called the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
CNN.
Right.
And I don't know how do they get from Africa to Mexico?
Don't know, but they're there. Brian Hastings, U.S. Border Patrol Chief of Law Enforcement Operations, told reporters this was the first large group, quote, ever recorded in Border Patrol history solely from Central and South Africa. We've never seen that demographic in a large group of that size before. This is getting ridiculous. The whole world is just coming here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just show up and come here. Who are they? Who knows? Anyway, he said it's causing a huge problem because the diseases that they're used to screening and interdicting for are like Guatemala, Salvador, Mexico, right? And they're having to bring in whole new, like health experts, translators, because the group of diseases in Africa is a whole different group.
Yeah.
And that's causing a health emergency as they try to process these people. Because he's not prepared for them. But, you know, they wouldn't be overwhelmed, the wise sage Latina Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez explained just last weekly, if they would just let them go.
Okay.
Don't stop them.
That's the answer.
No health checks. See? Then you don't have overcrowding at the facility. You do have widespread disease. But, you know, we already have that in L.A., yeah. So... And it's only fair.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So as you know, race relations under Trump are getting worse because he's a racist. Wait, what? They're not? There it is. Right there in a poll of 11 southern states conducted by NBC over 2 weeks. We see the reason why the DNC, political leadership, and media are whipping up false accusations of racial anxiety against Trump. Because people aren't mad enough. So they need fake racism delivered in fake news. You see this? People see improved race relations under Trump. I love this. The majority of those polled see improvement in race relations, and their approval of President Trump is higher, and their view of the economy more optimistic. The number one issue? Immigration. Mm. Yeah. This is okay. So the percentage of people who say race relations are getting better, up by 6 points. Oh, well, they'll have to double down and work harder. I'm sure there's some racist incident that they can foam in or make up, right? To confuse the people. Anyway, this is not the way it's supposed to go. His approval rating was not supposed to go up either. But it did last week after all that stuff. And the best thing of all, though, the percentage of people who say that the left and the media just use the term racist as a political hit job, not because it's real, that went up 6 points in a week. That's a massive move on a national tracking poll. So, I mean, it looks like the whole thing blew up in their faces, but we'll see. I meant to get to this epic rant earlier because it is so epic. It's Stephen Miller, advisor to President Trump, and he's debating a Fox News host, one of the Democrat hosts on Fox News, who's saying, well, you know, isn't your boss racist? I mean, prove to me he's not racist. I mean, he's racist and nobody else is racist because he's just racist. Here's Stephen Miller's response to that.
Let me just cut to the heart of the issue. These four congresswomen detest America as it exists, as it is currently constructed. They want to tear down the structure of our country. They want it to be a socialist, open borders country. If you, as Donald Trump says, want to destroy America with open borders, you cannot say you love your country. If you attack border agents the way that Ocasio-Cortez has, it means you have a deep-seated hatred of the nation as it exists. That's why you want to erase its borders, fundamentally transform the country, and in the process, it doesn't matter if American citizens lose their jobs, lose their homes, lose their livelihoods, lose their health coverage, and lose their very lives. There's a gigantic, enormous distinction between Donald Trump saying, I'm going to get on the world stage and put America first in every single thing we do, versus the view that says America should never come first and American citizens should never come first, which is their view, and that's what we're going to take to the ballot box.
Amen to that. I think it's a winning strategy. Especially when all they've got is to scream racist at you. All right, look, I don't like to dabble in conspiracy theories, so I didn't put this in the prime time today, but it deserves repeating. I'm going to play this really quickly. This has just come out, and it's very interesting. This is Fox News host, well, Fox News commentator, I should say. She's not a host. Ellen Ratner, who's a liberal. And this dates from November 9th, 2016, but it just came out. Now, on November 9, 2016, the media and the left were just still reeling from Trump's win, right? And none of the Russia talking points had been written yet. And so nobody knew not to say a thing like what I'm about to play you from Ellen Ratner. She had gone and visited Julian Assange of WikiLeaks. Like they let her into the embassy and everything. She was still in the embassy. And, so at this time, it's telling the truth about where the emails came from and how they got there was not forbidden. Remember, WikiLeaks released the emails, the Podesta emails, the Clinton campaign emails, the DNC emails, right? Which we're told the Russians did it. But remember, the FBI admitted in court a couple weeks ago they couldn't prove that. They have absolutely no freaking clue, so they just made it up, all right? Here's Ellen Ratner at a university symposium, Embry-Riddle University Symposium, talking about the interview she's just done with Julian Assange and what he told her about where those emails came from. I'm going to give a hint. It was not the Russians.
By the way, just FYI, I met with...
I've got to take a WikiLeaks.
I spent 3 hours with Julian Assange on Saturday at the Ecuadorian embassy.
Okay, get
in
this.
London.
Listen to this. Go ahead.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
But one of the things he did say is that the leaks were not from... they were not from the Russians. They were an internal source from the Hillary campaign or from somebody that knew Hillary, an enemy. And he said Russia got credit for something WikiLeaks should have gotten credit for.
Well.
This has just been released, by the way. This was not out there. Expect exactly zero interest from the media in this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.